Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Faster than a speeding bullet.
Allen steps up in the pocket, going to take off and run. Has the first down and more. To the 40, to the 35, 30. Breaks away. 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Josh Allen.
More powerful than a locomotive.
Now he's going to take it and run, and he's got the first down and more. 10, 5, and muscles his way into the end zone for an unbelievable 26-yard touchdown run. Are you kidding me?
Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
Allen steps up. Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first.
Look. Up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Josh Allen.
Go Bills.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Victory Monday. Who has it better than Bills fans right now? Amari Cooper in postgame said it's the first time he felt joy in a long time after a win. Like,
yeah,
genuine joy.
The Bills saved Amari Cooper.
Right.
That was funny.
All right, it's Jeremy and Joe, Victory Monday, Buffalo Bills Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Sal Capaccio joins us. He was on the sideline. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, good. Sal, the start to finish the day was a special one because it's Bills Chiefs. You've got the CBS crew there, and Bills fans were representing behind them. You know, I've got Nate Burleson making a bet with a Bills fan. He's going to send him a jacket. And J.J. Watt was
shotgunned a beer with a
yeah,
fan.
Yeah, like the Bills Mafia was the star of the show until Josh Allen, of course, did Josh Allen things, which he is one to do. Just a banner day at the stadium and one for the books.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's so funny, you know, what the CBS crew comes and, you know, it's not like they go on the road a ton. In fact, I think this is the first time outside of a playoff game they've done it. But when these studio shows go around, they don't get involved with the fans like that, right? I mean, they might go to a tailgate and check out some of the, you know, the whatever you're cooking, whatever's going on there. But I mean, to get to that level, it's just such an amazing, you know, reputation. And sometimes I get a little like, oh, come on, you know, it's not what it, jumping through tables and things. I get it all. But man, like just for them to, for that to be, hey, we're going to go be a part of this with Buffalo. It's special. You know, I mean, I just tweeted out a little while ago, guys, honestly. I was thinking about this last night. I texted a couple of my friends this who were just like, man, what was it like? And I'll just read you what I wrote. I said, I love my job of being on an NFL field. You do. You will never not find many people who love their job more than me doing this. But there are certain times when it's just even more special to be that close in a stadium when things like Josh Allen's run happened. That was one of those moments when it was just a special, special moment on the field. And the day couldn't have ended, kind of, if you want to say it that way, at that time, a better way, because you're right. It was a special day, and it was another classic game. It really was. It was the, what they were calling it, the game of the year. It was the game of the week. And it was. I mean, these two teams, and it wasn't Allen and Mahomes going toe-for-toe heavyweight battle. It was two really good defenses, grinding it out. Two really good, smart coaches trying to outsmart each other. And I'm talking about coaching staffs, too, not just Andy Reid and Sean McDermott. I mean, the chess match that was being played by these two, I love that for football. And to get to the end of the game, and it's low 20s scoring, that's football to me. Like, that's a great great football game and football day inside that stadium.
And the play by Allen, like you mentioned, like it's one of the all-time plays you've been on the field for, and just in general. I saw Matt Parrino tweet this out, and I think I agree that like it was the loudest he's heard that building in the 7 years he's covered the team. I'm up in the broadcast booth behind Chris and Eric, and I thought the same thing immediately. Like, oh my, yep. the place just erupted. So for you, was it the same? Like the noise that the stadium made, like when he was getting close to crossing the goal line?
Yeah, I was on Amy Lawrence too, and I said, people might have heard it because I think she played it a couple hours ago. Maybe because people probably didn't get sleep last night, right? I didn't get much sleep last night. And I said, you know, the crescendo is what it was, Joe, right? You could tell. Like when he got the first down, there was this, yeah. And then people realized, oh my God, he might score. And the crescendo of the fans when he finally got there to get in. And I'll tell you, even like the crowd when Terrell Bernard intercepted the ball to seal the game. That was incredible, too. And what a moment that was.
That's a great point. That's a great point. Yeah. I thought this, too, that it was amazing to me, Sal, that the Bills went up 9 points. Think of that. They went up 2 scores with 2 minutes to go. And or a little over 2 minutes to go. What will you get 99 times out of 100 at a Bills game when that happens? You'll get people starting
people
to
leave. Leaving.
And yep. I swear, like at least from my vantage point, the Bills were up 9 and nobody left. Nobody, everyone wanted to stay to see the final moments they beat the Chiefs.
Joe, I left the stadium last night at probably, let me just see, probably around 9:15 maybe, okay? And I will tell you, from a game, so that's what time the game ended, like 7:30, right?
Yeah,
so
little,
it's about 2 hours later. I left probably about 2 hours later, which because once we do post-game interviews, and then Matt Bovey and I recorded It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. By the way, a little plug for that. People want it. It's an immediate reaction podcast from the field we did. Generally, when I leave 2 hours after the game, it's pretty good to get out of there. I walked out, and it was like the game had just ended. The traffic, because nobody left. Like I called my wife, and I said, wow, I'm like, it's going to be a little while before I get home, just so you know. I said, and she goes, yeah, no one left, I'm sure, because the game was close. We haven't had a lot of those either, right? The Bills have had mostly blowouts at home games this year as well. You think about Tennessee game or the Jacksonville game. You know, Miami, they had things in hand. So, well, they didn't have anything. They won close in Miami, so I guess that would be as well. But, I mean, like, we haven't had a lot of those. The point is, you're right. Everybody stayed. It was awesome. It was a great atmosphere. And even after the game, guys running off the field and the video I have of the fans, you see everybody still there. So what a great day. And honestly, a great way to roll into the bye week for the Bills, no doubt about it.
As we get set to take some calls, Sal, let's go quickly. The Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured, call 1-800-8-MILLION. How the Bills come out of this game from an injury standpoint, who left, who came back? And if you want to include also here the players that played in the place of injured players.
Yeah, we definitely have to talk about that because, first of all, I don't think the tent ever went up for anybody officially, which is great news. However, Taylor Rapp did go into the locker room to have his foot examined and x-rayed, I believe. That was a bit of a shaky moment because it was early in the game. You're like, man, if they don't have Taylor Rapp, he had already had the interception. Then he comes running back out of the locker room, out of the field. You're like, okay, it's a foot. He's running back. He should be all right. And then he played the rest of the game. So that's good news, obviously.
A quick
he
panic.
Said he was feeling.
Go ahead.
What's that?
I was going to say a quick panic. I didn't want to stop you on Taylor Rapp.
Yeah.
How he's feeling. I was going to say a quick panic on Deion Dawkins as well.
Yeah. So Deion goes off. Remember, Deion goes off on the third down. He misses the third down. The Bills do not convert right before the Bills' fourth down run, before Josh's fourth down run. So Richard Garage comes into the game. It's his first NFL snap. That third down, it was his first NFL snap ever. Hmm. And he goes over to right tackle. They move Ryan Vandermark over to left tackle. The Bills do not get a yard on that play. And I'm not blaming them. That wasn't their fault. They ran up the middle anyway. But the next play, Deion comes back into the game, which is great news. After the game, I said, how are you feeling? He said, I'm standing here, so I'm good. So that's Deion's mentality, right? Obviously something to monitor as, you know, the next couple of weeks go on with him. And then the only other one was, and this was never an official injury. If you guys look, I posted the snap counts. James Cook did not have his normal snap count load. He did appear to injure his ankle and miss a few plays. He went back in. He played the game. He might even, I think he already has 2 touchdowns by then. But either way, it's something that, you know, I know that we noticed that he was getting looked at by trainers for a brief moment, and he did miss some plays because of it. So we'll check. All in all, though, even Sean McDermott, I think, after the game said, you know, to get out pretty healthy or something along those lines. But obviously, things pop up during the week or the next couple weeks as it is. And what you said, Jeremy, about guys filling in. I mean, how about Ryan Vandermark? I counted. I know he's number 74, but Ryan Vandermark had 74 NFL snaps under his belt. That's it. Going into this week, he started his first ever NFL game. He played right tackle, and I think he played fine. He said he would like to do better in the run game, but he felt his pass protection was good, and Josh Allen was not sacked in this game. So I would say so. He did a really nice job in that fourth and two to keep his man wide and gave Josh a running lane. You guys, if you go back and watch that, that's what he did on that play. Mm-hmm. So that was really good. And then as far as anybody else filling in the game, I don't remember if anybody had, because Rep.
Casey Tuhill, I remember seeing Catherine Fitzgerald pointed out, went into the tent very briefly and then came right back.
Okay. Thank you. I didn't see the tent go up, so thank you. I appreciate that. He did.
Yeah.
I did see him getting taped up on the sidelines, so maybe that happened very briefly. But
yeah.
It appears, guys, that they get out of this one healthy. And listen, the story of injuries this week is that, but now because of them getting out healthy of what we appear, now it becomes who you getting back. Matt Milano in 2 weeks. Dwayne Carter is eligible mm-hmm. to come back in 2 weeks in the next game.
Right. And I heard your interview right after the game on the field sale with Curtis Samuel, when he was talking about the bye, he's a story from yesterday's game too, just because he's kind of been a ghost for much of the season. And this was his best game of the year. He looked dangerous when he had the ball in his hands. And I did notice when you brought up the bye to him that he was like exasperated, like, yeah. I need it. Like we all need it,
yeah.
but I need the rest. And we've wondered about him all year. So, you know, he's looking as healthy as he has all year, and maybe the bye will be as good for him as anybody.
I'll say this. If the Bills can really get Curtis Samuel going in this offense, and even, you know, what he did was not overwhelming on Sunday, but he had made critical plays, and his stat line was fine. It was five catches on six targets. Don't forget that. Like, it's been a, you know, getting him the ball, him and Josh on the same page, and why is he not incorporated in the offense? Five catches on six targets, 58 yards and a touchdown. If you gave me that stat line every week for Curtis Samuel going forward, that would be a big boost. I think it could be even better than that, because I think what we saw yesterday was a guy finally. Here's what I think, because there's some clues here. Sean McDermott said after the game, when we talk about Curtis Samuel, they've been fighting through some injury or injuries, whatever he said. I think we can all think about the turf toe that he had. And let's just say maybe because of the injury and the turf toe, maybe that's why he hasn't been able to maybe have the kind of reps that you'd like in practice, which hasn't translated to the field. Well, if he's getting healthy now and you see him starting to get on the same page as Josh, and that's the result, I think it could even grow. I think it'd be even better. And now, again, I said Matt Milano, I said Dwayne Carter. Now you get Keon Coleman back in a couple of weeks against the San Francisco 49ers. So I just think you're right. Curtis Samuel, if he could have the impact like yesterday going forward on the offense and even bigger, that would be a really, really big benefit.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. One more injury note. You know, it's a guy that did not play the last time these two teams played. That's Terrell Bernard. You know, Sal, I don't know that Travis Kelce has ever had a quieter game against the Bills. And defensively, they just look to be more in control than any Chiefs game that I can remember. They've had their good performances in the regular season, for sure. But in this one, they just look like they had it for most of the day.
Yeah, and the Bills played a lot of their shell that they normally do, especially in long yardage situations, which you'd expect. And then they brought pressure with four, and those guys won up front. And that allowed guys like Terrell Bernard to understand where, once you see Patrick Mahomes, like I talked to him a little bit after the game about, you know, once Mahomes starts scrambling and you can figure out like where he's going to try to go with the ball and move with him a little bit and get into your zone, you know, don't let him stand back there. And Terrell is just such a great athlete that when that starts happening, he can cover a lot of ground very quickly. And we saw that on...
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The interception. You're right, Jeremy. And I'll say this. Terrell was a bit emotional in the locker room after the game, guys. It meant a lot to him to play in this game. It meant a lot for him to play in this game and to be a big part of this win. You know, the Bills have had five Player of the Week honors. I wonder if Terrell Bernard could be Defensive Player of the Week. I looked in the NFL yesterday. I don't see, and there could be somebody. I did not run across anybody who had both a sack and an interception, on top of the fact that he had a team-high 8 tackles. I mean, I think that he could be in line for that. That's how well he played in this game. And no doubt it was a big difference from the last time these two teams played having him.
Get some calls in here with Sal Capaccio as we chat about the Bills and Chiefs and the win for the Bills to move them to 9-2, the first time since they've been 9-2 since 1992. Rob in Connecticut, you're up with Sal. Hey, Rob.
Hey, good morning, Sal. Good morning, Jeremy. Good morning, Joe. Thanks for taking my call on an exceptional Victory Monday. I'm very happy. You guys always bring great points. Everything that you say, I agree with. I enjoyed this game thoroughly. Yesterday when Derek was on with the breakfast show, he asked the question of who do you think should step up? Who would you like to see step up? And I actually said Douglas, Terrell Bernard, and Dorian Williams. And Terrell Bernard did it because I know that, you know, Kelsey can be a threat, and he was not a threat yesterday, which was awesome. That last drive, as we were moving down the field, I kept yelling at the TV, stop trying to run the ball because you're not going to do it. Trust your receivers, eat the clock up, and let's just move down the field. And then when it was 4th-and-2, I was very, very happy that we went for it. Did not expect what happened. When it was in motion, my seeing eye fiance was sitting next to me, and she goes, Josh is going to go. He's going to go. And I sat up and I said, that's some MVP stuff right there. I screamed, yelled, and hollered just like everybody else. But the one thing that I just, like, you know, I don't usually talk about refs. They got to do their job. But right at the end, it was 3rd-and-13, and Mahomes drops back, pass. That was an incomplete pass, and it was under 2 minutes. They did not go and review it. And I was like, why are they not reviewing this? And Gene even came in when Jim Nance asked him, and he said, that should have been reviewed. But it still worked out because they got the hold anyways, and it wound up being 4th-and-13, and we won anyways.
Yeah.
But I was like, what? That was like something that should have been, you know, looked at. So
yeah, thanks, Rob. Again, well, the value of the rules analyst to tell you something's wrong and nothing is different. It doesn't even matter. Yep.
It was a missed call. So was a face mask they had on James Cook, by the way. They had a face mask earlier on James Cook. Should have been called. Overall, I thought the officiating did a pretty good job yesterday, to be honest with you.
Mainly because they were not actively over-involved in the game. Like, people will there might be missed calls, but people will be just happier if there are fewer flags.
No, because the missed call you're going to hear about today, if any, and I don't think you really will other than Kansas City, is that Matt Collins obliterated the guy covering Curtis Samuel on the touchdown.
Offensive interference. I saw Bill Barnwell tweet about that. Teams get away with that. They go for it. You know, you push what you can, and they did. That's how Samuel got that open.
Yeah, and listen, let's say, though, look, this is the Chiefs are smart, though. They're good. And the Bills did a great job on Travis Kelce. That also opened up Xavier Worthy a little bit. You know, he did a nice game. Joe, remember what I said to you before the game, right? Remember what I said to you? I said, Andy, I think I said this to you, Jeremy, too. I said, one thing I guarantee you, Andy Reid's going to try and get Xavier Worthy a touchdown in this game. Yep. And they did on the first play of the game. They had a designed run to try and take him to the house for 70 yards. And then later they went to him again, and they went to him several times. He actually was their leading receiver, 4 catches for 61 yards and the touchdown, and he got his touchdown. There you go. But because the Bills focused so much on Kelce, that helped Xavier Worthy. It also helped Noah Gray. But you know what? If you're going to choose right now who's going to beat us, Kelce or Worthy and Gray, I think you choose Worthy and Gray because we saw also that, again, as Joe pointed out yesterday, Mahomes and Worthy weren't on the same page on that long ball, and he doesn't get his feet in bounds. The timing was just a little bit off, so they did it. Yeah, they did a great job on Travis Kelce. So, very high marks. Look, give a lot of high marks to Bobby Babich. Sean McDermott, it's his philosophy and defense. We know that. Bobby Babbage has been with him a long time. Guys in the locker room talked very highly about Bobby Babbage and the game plan that he put together and the play calling that he had during the game.
Mike in Pennsylvania up next. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Yeah, what a great game yesterday that we all got to witness. Some of you guys were at the stadium. I was watching it from a distance, but Josh Allen steps up again. But let me tell you, those two catches that Amari Cooper had were not easy catches. That adjustment
Amazing.
That he made on the second one was outstanding. And I really believe he was the spark that got the offense rolling yesterday, along with Curtis Samuel. But those two plays, they were exactly what the doctor ordered. I mean, to be able to catch a ball and with a cast on with one hand, with your left hand on the sideline, which was unbelievably placed by Josh Allen. And then the other one, just the adjustment. I don't know that Allen's had a receiver that could do stuff like that. So kudos to those guys for connecting. And I'm excited to see what Buffalo can do when we get everybody healthy and back in the fold.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, by the way, I'm glad. I want to talk about that, Mike, real quick. I'm glad you brought it up. Someone on Twitter also tweeted me, Sasquatch tweeted me. Thank you, Sasquatch, for reminding me. Dalton Kincaid should be back, too, by the way. Dalton Kincaid is another one that should be back in 2 weeks. You hope that's the case. And look, the Bills did this without Keon Coleman, without Dalton Kincaid, and without Spencer Brown. I mean, like, you know, that's three really important players on their offense, and they still broke the Chiefs' NFL record 38-game streak of holding opponents to 28 points or less. Wow. They scored 30 points on a Chiefs team that was allowing only 17.9 points per game. Don't let that be lost on you. Now, the next time these two teams play, the Bills will have, because I think they'll play again, I think a lot of us do in the playoffs, the Bills hopefully will have their full complement of guys, but also Matt Milano coming back. And the Chiefs will have Isaiah Pacheco coming back. They'll be far different. Anyway, on Amari Cooper, Mike, thank you for this because, guys, that second catch was right in front of me on the sidelines. Unbelievable. I said to him after the game, I talked to Amari in the locker room and said, like, I noticed you didn't turn your head even until the ball was three quarters of the way to you. And he just kind of walked through the, yeah, that's Josh. Josh was under pressure. I knew he was going to throw it up. And, you know, and that's the spot to be for that or whatever. He made an amazing catch with his foot down. I said, did you know it was down? They challenged it. He said, I was pretty confident I had that one foot down, just needed to get the other one down. The first one, that gave him confidence because it hit his left hand, as he said, right? He caught it with his left hand. That gave him confidence the rest of the game. Hey, my hand's okay. I can catch with this thing on. Caught with the left hand. What a great throw by Josh. Both were great throws by Josh. The other thing about Amari Cooper, you said it, Jeremy. He said he felt joy for winning and winning for the first time in a while. If anybody, if you listen to or you watch Amari Cooper do interviews, just don't read anything into the fact that this man, he is so low-key. It's unbelievable. Like, you could not tell, I think, if this man lost a game 30-0 or won the game the way they did. And he says, here he is telling you how much joy he had. And he's got a little smile, but he sounds the same. It's crazy. Like, he's just so soft-spoken all the time.
You know, Stephon Gilmore, he reminds me of. Gilmore used to be like that.
I thought of that.
I wanted to give you Ryan Miller. Like, we used Ryan to joke Miller. That Ryan Miller happy and Ryan Miller angry was the same tone. Like,
right.
Really it's excited. Unbelievable.
Yeah. He said that when he had the Lucic quote that one time, it was, like, in the same exact tone as, like, the next game that they won.
Yeah, yeah. And Cooper, you know, it's funny as he's talking about, like, he also went in sale about how close the team is and talked a lot about that. Like, he's like, every place is different. And, you know, he's still kind of new here. And you want to know how quiet he is? James Cook was on One Bills Live with the guys, and they asked Chris asked him if anybody was more quiet than he is, James Cook, because he does not talk much. And Cook's answer was Cooper. Like, he's quieter than James Cook,
wow.
which is tough to do, right? Like, anyway.
Yeah.
So
no doubt about it. By the way, that is a really great insight, what he said about the Bills and a guy who just arrived here, to what they have on this team. And, you know, we can talk and debate culture and all those kinds of things a lot, and whether it, you know, what it means. But I think when you go listen to it, I think who had the video that had it, and I wanted to credit somebody. I think, well, we have the sound, but you can watch the video too from the locker room of Amari Cooper. But my point is this: when a player comes here from the outside who's been in this league 10 years, who's seen a lot of success, who is genuinely surprised in a really positive way about the way the locker room is and the people around them and what they have, I think it just speaks volumes to you know, what this organization has built inside that locker room and Sean McDermott and the Buffalo Bills. And, you know, Amari Cooper, that was really good insight that he gave.
So Capaccio on the Western Hotline, the Extra Point Show coming up at the 10 o'clock hour. Thanks, Sal.
All right, guys. Have a great rest of your day.
You too. Sal Capaccio. He'll have the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show at 10 o'clock. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Want a quick stat of the day?
Before you do that, can I tell you a failed stat of the day that I just discovered?
Yeah.
I looked at the Bills' scores recently. Did you realize they've scored exactly 30 points in three consecutive games?
Oh, wow.
They've scored 30 points three straight times. And by the way, the game before, they scored 31. So I wondered, how rare is that? How rare is it that a team would score the exact same amount of points 3 weeks in a row? So the first lookup I go to see, okay, like, has any team scored 30 points three times in a row? And yeah, it happened last year.
All right.
The 49ers did it last year. So not rare at all, apparently. What's your stat of the
day? My stat of the day comes from last night's game. Burrow had another great day. 300 yards passing, three touchdowns. Burrow has more losses with 300 yards and three touchdowns than Tom Brady in his entire career. Burrow.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, he has to throw a billion yards every game for them to win.
Their defense is a tire fire. All right, 803-0550, open segment to get your calls in and how everyone else is reacting to the Bills and what they've built here. Join us, won't you? 803-0550 on WGR.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.